This morning, I'm going to begin basically a little series on the book of Mark. But as you know, as the Lord leads me in different directions, you may come on a Sunday and I may not be in Mark, because I'll try to be sensitive to what the Lord wants. But basically, in a period of a few weeks here and there, we'll be looking at Mark. And Mark is a book which is referred to as the Suffering Servant. And my whole purpose this morning is to inspire you to get in the Gospels and to read the Gospels. And as we begin, we're going to give you just a quick overview of the Gospels, the meaning of the different books, and the way in which the Lord has used these Gospels to reach out to various kinds of people. So how much we'll actually get into the book of Mark this morning will just depend on how it goes. Let us ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, you've given us the wonderful Gospels that reveal to us the ministry of your Son while he was here upon the earth. And for them we do give thanks. We pray that as we begin to open up some of the material in these Gospels, as we begin to look at the book of Mark, that you would just touch our hearts, encourage us, and help us to see the enjoyment of getting into the Gospels. For we ask it in Christ's name, amen. Now, there's no question about it, we're really blessed to have the Gospels. God has greatly enriched us by giving us this wonderful panoramic view of Christ as he walked here upon this earth. Now, before we begin some of these lessons, you need to remember, the book of Mark is considered to be the first gospel that was written. Now, we might have a tendency of thinking of Matthew because that's the first one, but it is Mark that actually was the first written gospel. And believe it or not, the other three gospels are solidly based on the information that we're given in the book of Mark. So the book of Mark becomes a serious foundation for the other gospels. When it comes to the book of Mark, you need to remember that Mark was very close to and influenced by Peter. So much of the content that we have in Mark was the direct result of the relationship between Mark and Peter. Mark lived in Rome, and he no doubt wrote the book of Mark from Rome. His full name is John Mark, or Mark John, and his mother's name was Mary. And his mother was a devoted, wealthy Christian believer. She was a woman who had opened up her home where the Lord's children could worship. So Mark was greatly under the influence of his mother's faith. And mothers can have a spiritual impact in all of our lives. Now you'll notice that I have various sections where you can write in any notes that you want to there. But the first thing I want you to realize, when you come to the Gospels, Matthew was a book for the Jews. So when you pick up the book of Matthew and you're reading it in your devotional life, you need to remember that here is a book which is primarily for the Jews. The book of Matthew presents Christ as a king. So very much about the book of Matthew is about the kingdom. It presents Christ as the King of Kings, as the King of the Jews. And therefore, you can see clearly why it would be a book for the Jews. So Matthew is greatly saturated with Old Testament Bible passages. Well, of course it would be. It's for the Jews. It's all about Christ being the king who they've already rejected as king. And so when you pick up to read Matthew, your greater understanding of the Old Testament is even better. But Matthew sometimes is a very difficult, more difficult book to read because it's so saturated with an understanding of Old Testament things. When you come to Luke, Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man. So when you pick up and begin to read the book of Luke, you remember that you're going to see Christ as the Son of Man. Even more so, it's designed to show him as a perfect man. So if you want to see Christ as the Son of Man, if you want to see Christ as this perfect man who walked upon the earth, you pick up the book of Luke. Now, the book of Luke is considered to be a book that was written to the Greeks. It was for the Greeks. Therefore, within all of this, if you want to see the manhood of Christ, Luke is for you. Luke, being a book for the Greeks, is considered to be just a little bit more on the intellectual side because Greeks love to be intellectual. And as you know, Luke was written by Luke, and Luke was a doctor. So the interesting thing about the book of Luke is that the book of Luke can be very specific and very concise sometimes, more so than in the other Gospels, because after all, he's a doctor. And those of you who work with doctors, you always know they're very concise. The book of Luke, when you read it, is a book that is full of medical terminology. Some of the very words used to express various things happening in Luke are medical terms. So it's saturated with the terminology of a man who is a physician. Now we come to Mark. Mark is written for the Romans. Mark is written for the Romans, and because it is a very fast-paced book. The book of Mark moves quickly. There's very little pause in the book of Mark. If you want someone to get an overall view of the gospel, the book of Mark is what you want to present to them. It is quick, it is fast, it moves from one situation to another situation, and it is great for the guy who doesn't have much time to read. So if you want an overview of the gospel, and you don't want to get involved in all of the Matthew and all of the Luke, just sit down and very quickly you can read the book of Mark. And it'll be quick and exciting to you. The book of Mark, if you're taking notes and you want to know this, it's an interesting thing to point out to you that the book of Mark has 90% of what's written in the other Gospels. So if you're going to pick up one book and get the overall gospel, it's Mark, because Mark covers 90% of what the other gospels have. Matthew is only about 50%, I think, as well as Luke. But when it came to Mark, just about everything is in there. Mark will give you a pretty good grasp of the overall gospel, and it'll do it very quickly. Now, the reason Mark is so fast-paced is because the Romans were not avid readers. You've all seen the Romans. You know about them. It was saturated with tough, powerful men who were active people. They were not people that had time to read or took time to read. So Mark is a very brief and blunt look at the gospel. It is brief, it is blunt. You and I might say, when it comes to Mark, it is short and sweet. So for those of you who say, you know, I need to get an overall grasp of the gospel, you turn to Mark. you begin to read it. Now, the interesting thing, some of the things that keeps Mark going, the word and, the little word and is in Mark 1,300 times, and it keeps moving you, and this, and that, and this, and that book just keeps flying right on. Fast-paced move. It's a book for a guy that doesn't read very much, that has no time to read. That's a lot of times to have the word and as it keeps Christ moving from one situation to another. As I said, Mark portrays Christ as a servant. And therefore, it is all about the action of this servant. Now, to simplify some of the things I've said, Matthew is for the religious person. Luke is for the thinker. And Mark is for the strong outdoors man. You guys who go and hunt, sit in that tree, sit behind that blind when you're not looking for the deer, and read the book of Mark, because it's for guys like you. Now, before we begin to open up Mark, we can't pass without revealing Mark. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John stands alone. John is just not like the other three Gospels at all. Now, you don't have to remember this term, but the first three are referred to as synoptic Gospels. They're synoptic Gospels. And all that means is that they look at the view, the Christ's life from a common viewpoint. Matthew looks at him there. Mark looks at Luke. They look at him from a common viewpoint. They are more predominantly the earthly view of Christ. John is the heavenly view of Christ. So most of us who are believers are naturally attracted to the Gospel of John because it's so rich. It is so heavenly. It is so spiritual. It's not like the other three. The Gospel of John is written for believers. So those of us who have come to know Christ, we're not concerned with the historical religious side of Matthew or the intellectual things of Christ as a servant. What we want to do is go beyond all of that. Get me to the good stuff. Get me to the deep stuff. Get me to the rich stuff that's full of life and light. That's the Gospel of John. And I've thought about that as I've been trying to prepare these lessons to get us started for the Gospels. And I thought, you know what? And people say this, oh, you need to start with the Gospel of John. But overall, when you stop to think about it, the Gospel of John is for those who have already genuinely met Christ and walk with him and want a deeper understanding of the spiritual side of Christ. And I know that we're told that the Gospel of John is so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and so that's very important. But if I wanted to give somebody an overall panoramic view of the Gospel, I'd say, you know what? You need to read Mark. It'll keep flowing. It'll be fast-paced. It'll keep moving because they're not yet ready for the richness of the Gospel of John. It's interesting because I told you like 90% of all the Gospels, of all the material is in the book of Mark. Guess what? About 8% of what's in the other Gospels is contained in John. John just stands on its own. It's the gospel. It's the spiritual book. It's full of depth and richness and spiritual fruit. Okay? So I have done all of this to help you to maybe have a grasp when it comes to having your own devotional life and getting into the Word. Now, we will begin to open Mark this morning. I don't know how far we'll go. We'll just go as we feel like going, and when we're done, we're done. But what I want you to do, and like I said, if I feel led to give another lesson, I will, But I would like to inspire you to begin to read the book of Mark for yourself. And when you open it, I mean, just quickly, look at when you start, just look at the ands, okay? When I went through the first chapter, all I did was underline the ands. You got verse 7, speaking of Christ, and preached. Okay, or this was John the Baptist, and preached. Then you move down to verse 9, and it came to pass. Verse 10, and straightway. Verse 11, and. Verse 12, and immediately. Verse 13, and. And you can keep on going like that. And that's what keeps this book moving. So keep that in mind when you are reading it. The first thing we want to say, we see in verse 1, the beginning of the gospel. Mark is about the beginning of the gospel. When you look at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where it begins. It took us all the way back to the beginning. When you look at John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. When you look at Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here we are, we're going to get a beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll be skipping around in a lot of places, maybe coming back to Bible verses. We'll just depend on the Lord as we go through this, okay? Don't hold me to any set way here. But in verse 10, and straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. One of the things that you're going to see in Mark all the time, not only is the word and, but you're going to see straightway and immediately used all the time. Because anytime anything happens, it's straightway, it's immediately, it is right now. And that's part of what keeps all of this flowing. So our Savior has been baptized, and straightway coming up out of the water, we see the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. So we see how quickly it moves. He is baptized, the Spirit comes like a dove, and immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Now, a lot of times you and I think about our own lives and the temptations and the trials and the difficulties that we have. Our Lord started that way when it came to his genuine ministry. He immediately, by the Spirit, under the control of God, is driven into the wilderness. Why is it that we think we can get away in this life without our own trials and difficulties and temptations? We sort of go the way our Christ went. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And 40 seems to talk about probation. It's a time of difficulty and stress and training and whatever. And he was tempted of Satan and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now, it's interesting when you look at some of the commentaries here, because if we just read, we think, oh, wow, not only was he being bombarded by Satan and being tempted by Satan, but there were wild beasts there. But the context of many of the Bible scholars say, do you know why the wild beasts were there? They were looking after him. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was not fearful of them. They were under the control of the Spirit of God. And these wild beasts that were there, they were there to watch over him, to take care of him. Isn't that interesting? And the angels ministered unto him. So it's like twofold here. The beasts were ministering to him, watching over him. The angels, God is in control of all things, dear ones. He's in control of my life. And even though at times I'm put in a position where I'm being bombarded by the enemy, he'll be looking after me and providing for me. Then when you skip down to verse 15, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is here. This is not the millennial kingdom. This is the overall universal kingdom. The beginning of the gospel has brought to us this universal kingdom of God that is still ours today. The time is fulfilled. It is complete. The kingdom of God has begun. Now, I don't understand all. The more I read and study about the kingdom of God, it seems like the less I understand. But I know there is this kingdom of God which is being formed today. And as I've told you so many times, Satan is trying to build a world, but Christ is building a kingdom that lasts forever and ever. And now he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So they're not fishing like we fish. They're not out there with a pole. They're out there with their nets, and they're casting those nets out there the way they would catch for fish there. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and they followed him. Now we've got Simon Peter here and we've got Andrew. And initially, the first time we see them, they are fishing for fish. So somehow there is connection between what they were doing in life and how Christ was going to use them. Peter is going to be a grand fisherman for the souls of men. And the first time we see him, he's just fishing for regular fishes. But Christ looks at him and says, "Follow me, come with me, you're going to fish for men." And Peter, you remember over in Acts, when he preached, 3,000 people came to Christ in one day through one sermon. He was going from fishing for fish to fishing for men. Now, what does that say to me? God is working in my life and in yours, moving in special ways in our training, in our education, in our development, and somehow by his unique ability, he's able to take where we have been, where we have worked, what we have learned, and then use it for his own good purpose. That's what he did with Peter and Andrew. And Andrew was an evangelist through the Gospels. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Bam, no problem. This is like leaving your career here, you know. That'll be good for me. I'll go. No question. There was something about being spoken to by Christ that immediately said, "Hey, I can forsake this." But you have to make sure it's his voice. You have to make sure it's calling from him. And then you're able to forsake what you considered your livelihood. They don't know how they're going to be taken care of. They don't know what this job's going to involve. He says, "Come on, I'll make you fishers of men." And they go. Straightway, they forsook their nets and they followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. Now, here we've got John and we've got James, and they're not fishing. They're mending their nets. So I looked at this word to try to figure out as much as I could about it. To mend these nets, first of all, could mean simply mending. They're repairing. They're restoring these nets. To mend, like it's being used here, could mean to make or place something in its appropriate position. To adjust, to establish, to arrange. So Peter goes out and Andrew, and they bring people to Jesus Christ. They know the Lord, they're saved. But over a period of time, people need additional help. Churches need different kind of instruction. So he calls these two guys out who are mending their nets, putting them in order, keeping them in their proper place, restoring and repairing them. And that is exactly what John and James would do in their future ministry. John would bring us back to where we needed to be brought. Things get out of whack. People's lives get harmed and hurt, and people go in wrong directions. And you need these Johns to put it all in perspective. They arrange it. They make it significant. They put it where it goes. They help you get your life in order. And that's what John and James were going to be called to do. And guess what? It's going to be John who's going to give us the Gospel of John. So I share all that with you because I want you to know that God doesn't ignore what we are. God is able to take what we are and use it for the furtherance of the gospel and for the place where he wants us in ministry. Now, I know it's been difficult to listen to all of this, but it's so important to get a grasp of how Mark flows and how Christ is able to take all I am, bring it to the cross, and then use it for his glory. I think that'll be just enough for this morning. I might mention to you that Paul was a tent maker. And who do you think it was that laid down the foundation of Jesus Christ? That little old tent maker, Paul. He had been building and making tents, and now he'll be building up the body of Christ. So God does have a purpose in my training, in my development, and yours. And then he'll take you and put you right where he wants you. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you for the Gospels, and we're so thankful that you gave us four Gospels that are able to touch the different lives of different people. We're so thankful that you have given us the Gospel of John that is so rich and spiritual. We pray that in our own personal devotional lives, you'll help us to just read the gospel and profit spiritually from it. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, sorry.